The following is a production of Shark Flight Media.
Now entering the nexus of geekery and guy world in 3, 2, 1, mark.
Do you know what the secret of life is? One thing, just one thing.
You know, that's just like your opinion, man.
This is the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast. I'm your host, Ian J. Malone, joined momentarily by my usual partners in crime. That, of course, is Rob Howell, the professor, Kevin Steverson. Also got a great guest lined up for you guys. You folks on YouTube, I'm pretty sure you can see that is down there in the bottom right-hand corner of my screen. So we're going to get to him here in just a couple. Got a great show on tap tonight. Going to be talking about everything from samurais to space dragons and foods. Like, three of the most awesome things in the whole freaking universe, baby. All one show. Before we do that, got to say thanks to our presenting sponsors of Chris Kennedy Publishing. We say it every week, folks, because it's true. It doesn't matter what you're into. If it's military sci-fi, space opera, paranormal romance, urban fantasy, they got it all. Just go to chriskennedypublishing.com, learn about their books, their authors, their series, even sign up for the newsletter while you're there. Get yourself a free ebook in the process. They are message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy. They are Chris Kennedy Publishing. Website, again, chriskennedypublishing.com. Also, real quick and off the top, I want to say hi to one of our other sponsors on this show, the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. Great crew. Doesn't matter if you're a reader or a writer, they got something for you over there at IASFA.org. So make sure you check them out. Also got a fantastic book giveaway happening this month. So stay tuned in our Air It Out segment. We'll give you a little bit more information about what's happening there, particularly for you fantasy folks. You're going to want to pay close attention to that. It's good stuff, man. IASFA, they hook you up that way. Also, so does CKP. Stay tuned at halftime. Free books there too. Rob, how are we doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Cowboys won. The Jayhawks won. What could be better?
Yeah, I gotta. They haven't tanked with Cooper Rush, man. That's
I got nothing. That defense is really good, but I thought if they got two wins or played 500 ball and kept themselves in the race, but getting three wins, even if they lose the next two, because I don't expect them to beat LA and I don't expect them to beat Philly right now the way Philly's playing, but they'll still be. They won't be out of it all. They won't be out of the playoff race. And that's all you can ever hope for out of a backup quarterback.
No doubt, man. No doubt at all. Kev, how are we doing this evening, buddy?
Doing good. Doing good. Everybody's winning around here. Braves got 100 wins and then leading their division. So we got a magic number of one. Falcons won.
Yeah.
And the Bulldogs won. Now, of course, people are looking at that game, but you got to wonder the people question that if they truly know football. Because Georgia went on the road in the SEC and limited that team to one touchdown.
Well, I'm pretty sure our guest tonight will have plenty to say on that topic. And if I'm not mistaken, that is somewhere in the question. So we'll get to that. But speaking of him, let's go ahead and bring him in. For folks who know of the Salvage Title universe and for listeners of this show, that's most of you guys. You know him as the author of books like Action, Hesitation. He is that guy who likes to splash a little bit of fantasy into his sci-fi, a little chocolate in your peanut butter, if you will. He is, of course, best-selling author Nick Steverson. Welcome to Dudes in Hyperspace, brother. How you doing?
Appreciate you having me.
Oh, pleasure was all mine, man. If nothing else, just so we could have that kind of back and forth on the messenger before we got on tonight about what you freaking cook for dinner. Like, my man apparently went fishing this weekend, people, and came back with a freaking monstrous catch and was just hanging out this afternoon, just filleting fish, just nothing to him, just filleting away. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I got off a little early yesterday and we went out on the bay and caught some redfish. Caught 8 or 9 really nice ones. One Spanish mackerel. Limit in Florida is only one per person. So most of the day was catch and relief, but we did keep two, one each. And then we kept that mackerel and I came home today and filleted all of it. Nice. That'll be dinner tomorrow night.
So now, have you got a preference on how you like to cook fish? Are you a fried guy, calabash style? Do you like to grill them? Do you like to smoke them? It depends on what the fish is.
It really just depends on the fish. So like a redfish or a grouper, I'll cut it into like nuggets and then deep fry it.
Nice.
But a tuna's got to be grilled,
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, I could talk redfish fillet or redfish nuggets with you all night long, man. I had a buddy back in Tallahassee who used to do those like a champ. So I will definitely look forward to trying yours one day. I am definitely a fan. But all right, well, let's get to it, man. you're a Steverson, dude. As we know, you Steversons like to write stories. It runs in the family, and that is impressive in and of itself, man. But you are not just a guy who decided, well, you know what? My dad writes stories. Maybe I'll just kind of dabble in this. Like, you went head first. You started with anthologies in Salvage. You're now the author of a full-blown trilogy, and rumor on the campfire is you're working on more. We're going to get to that here in a bit, but let's start from the beginning, man. At some point you decided, like, I'm going to do this and I'm not just going to jack around. Like, I'm going to go full on writing mode. What happened that kicked that gear in you that you decided this is what I, Nick, want to do?
It's actually kind of funny. Like, so in high school, I always kind of dabbled in writing. I was always really good on my essays and short stories for school and stuff like that. I got a perfect 6 on the Florida writing, and I never did anything with it. I never intended to do anything with it. Being a writer was never a goal for me. And then my dad did his book. I think he had his full trilogy out, and I think Alex Rath had just put out Scales of Justice.
Yeah.
Scales of Justice had just come out. And I thought of this really cool alien race, you know, because I love dragons, always have. And I sent my dad a text. I was like, hey, you should do a race like this. It'd be really cool. And he goes, yeah, sure, write it. And I'm like, yeah, right. And he goes, no, if you want it to happen, you're going to have to write it. And I was like, oh, okay. And he said, just, you know, try writing a short story. Well, my 10,000-word short story turned into a 46,000-word novella.
Nice.
Titled Test Your Metal. So that's where all that started out. But honestly, it came from him kicking me in the butt, you know, basically, you know, I know you're creative. I know you want to do this kind of stuff. You just haven't done it, and you're not going to until you do it.
Right.
So, I mean, he kind of pushed me into doing it, but I mean, he knew what he was doing, you know, and I'm of the mindset to where if I do something, there's no halfway doing it. I'm either 100% in or I'm not in it at all. And that's just my mindset. I'm either going to do my best to be the best at it, or I'm not going to do it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking at a proud papa right here in the bottom left-hand corner of my screen as you tell this story. So that's pretty awesome. For folks who haven't connected the dots, Nick is Kevin's son. So definitely a fun family to catch up with at conventions. Let's talk a little bit more about the stuff that you write. All right. You are, and I alluded to this at the top, man, chocolate and the peanut butter kind of guy. You write sci-fi. Well, there's a lot of big time classic fantasy elements to what you do, whether it's dragons, whether it's the whole samurai element to the one character you got who carries the sword. Also, a lot of the themes that you deal with, empires and legacy and you know, what it means to kind of that whole coming of age kind of style. Obviously, we see that a lot in sci-fi, but it's huge in fantasy. So talk to me about how you kind of blend those things. You know, what are your influences? I mean, did you grow up reading a lot of fantasy and sci-fi? I know you're an anime guy. Talk to me about your influences that brought to light the stories that you now tell over in Salvage.
So growing up, I did not read sci-fi.
Okay.
I watched Star Trek on TV, and I saw the Star Wars movies and all that, but I didn't read a whole lot of sci-fi growing up. I read primarily fantasy. If there was a dragon in the book and it was in the library at school, I read it.
Right.
You know, loved it. And the whole, like, it's a sci-fi universe, and that's what I was going to be writing in, but I wanted a dragon.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out a way to worm my dragon in there. So that's kind of what I did. And, you know, I've always been fascinated with Japanese culture. You know, well, how can I get a samurai into this as well? But obviously you can't have an actual samurai that aren't around anymore. So it would have to be, I had to figure out a way to finesse that in there too. But, you know, honestly, just I read all through high school, and it was primarily fantasy. And I didn't read anything for 15 years. I didn't read or write anything. And that's just the kind of genre that those stories are the kind of feel that stuck with me when I got back into this. You know, I like the space opera feel, the long drawn out story. You know, I like having something people can connect to, you know, something that they can relate to, the family aspect to it. I like the idea of a massive empire, you know, growing and expanding, because, you know, it can be good or bad, you know, I mean, however you want to take it, you know, like I say, everybody is the hero in their own story. So what is your guy going to do? You know,
yeah.
I like the feel of it. You know what I mean?
Cool. Where's the love of Japanese culture come from? I mean, I ask as a kid who dressed up as a ninja, like no less than six years for Halloween. So like, I loved swords and crap. I had them all over my house and the whole deal in college. But, how did that work out for you?
Self-discipline. Yeah. The samurai are the most disciplined people I can think of, you know, the training, the dedication, the sense of honor and duty and just loyalty. You know, I really love that. I am a loyalty person. I'm very self-disciplined when it comes down to it. You know, I'm very hard on myself. And, you know, I resonate with that a lot. I'm not comparing myself to a samurai by any means, but yeah. I just find that whole culture very interesting. You know,
cool. Well, now you talked a bit about how you knew, okay, if I'm going to do this, I got to have a dragon. Dragons are my thing. I'm fascinated by them. I think they're cool creatures. I'm going to work that into, you know, the sci-fi context in the form of a salvage title story. But the character of Dekal is really unique, very nuanced. A lot of layers to this guy or this dragon, if you will. So talk to me about where his story came from. Obviously, it plays into a lot of stuff that you're talking about with the samurai culture and family and loyalty and honor. But how did all of that crystallize in your mind to give you that character?
You know, he's been groomed his entire life to take over the empire, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to.
Right.
You know, the whole aspect of his story is he's got to prove that he's worthy to take over that empire. And my mindset was, what kind of mindset would they have to be worthy of taking on, you know, such a thing without being, you know, tyrannical or a murderous, you know, ruler? Would he be the guy who wanted to start his reign, you know, in blood, or would he rather do it the most honorable way possible? How could he do that? You know, I tried to take the best aspects of an individual that I would hope that I could be and instill them in his character while still having him screw up along the way. Cause you know, nobody's perfect. He, you know, he makes mistakes, you know, all the time, and he's learning from it, constantly learning from it. And that's another part of his character that I really wanted to show, is like, he's not against admitting when he's wrong or that he's made a mistake, you know, or turning his nose up at it or anything. You know, he's like, okay, I screwed up. What can I learn from this and how can I get better? And that's what I try to do.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that right there is a topic in and of itself that we've talked a lot about on this show. Kevin Eikenberry comes to mind, you know, a guy who's very, very, very slick, very professional, very polished when it comes to story structure, character development, and that character journey where you have someone who makes mistakes and has to learn. You know, he and other people who have been on this show have talked many times over about how much that sort of thing really resonates with readers. You know, I mean, we love a Mary Sue when it's Superman, but outside of that, we like, you know, finding the flaws in people is what makes us able to connect to these really fantastical characters like, you know, space dragons. So can you talk to me about some of the influences for that story? As far as, you know, were you kind of channeling any of the books that you read as a kid? You talk about the, you know, the inheriting the empire, the growth. I think of a story like, you know, Thor, honestly, and from the beginning of that franchise. You know, was there anything kind of clicking around in your head when you wrote that really kind of helped to drive that inspiration for you?
I honestly can't think of anything. I'm very much a pantser, so gotcha. I just started writing the story and that's what it turned into. You know, I mean, my characters talk to me as I go. They tell me what they want to do and where they want to be. And I don't know. It just sort of developed naturally. I don't get a whole lot of inspiration from like movies, from movies and music and stuff. And I kind of purposely stay away from all that to keep my own stuff original as much as it can be, you know? But I guess if I had to think of anything that it would be close to, it would be more along the lines of The Lion King.
All right. Yeah.
You know, I guess Gortal would be more like Scar and, you know, to call it Simba coming back, you know.
Yep. Classic coming of age story, man. Story. Like, you can't go wrong with that. So, well, now you touched on this just a second. And as you know, we have a lot of writers who like to listen to and watch the show on YouTube. Let's kind of split off for just a second. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I didn't intend for this to be a craft style interview, but give me a glimpse of your process. Obviously, you're a pantser, but I mean, is there any sort of pre-writing, world building, character bios, any of that stuff that you do in advance before you start on chapter one of whatever your story is going to be? What is your process?
Not really. Not really. I mean, I have an idea. I have a character pop in my head. Oh, that's a cool character. What's he going to do? Oh, he's going to do this. How do I want it to end? It's going to end something along these lines. And I just start typing.
Okay. So, you know,
I mean, I don't outline. I'm horrible at taking notes. I really got to get better at that. Melissa Olthoff is helping me with that. She and I are writing together, co-authoring. We've got 6 books planned. We're almost done with the second one. And she is a note taker. Like, and she's saving my butt by taking all these notes. I store everything in my head. And then if I can't remember something, I go back and look in the previous book. But my process is pretty, is I would say very much 100% pantsing. Like, I have an idea. I know where I want it to go. And everything along the way is a surprise to me just as much as it is to the reader reading it when they gets published.
Cool. Cool. Cool, man. Well, you touched on Olthoff. Love her, by the way. Totally one of our favorite people over at CKP. We definitely need to get her onto the show at some point. Melissa, if you're watching, listening, yep, got to make it happen. Talk to me about these books that you're writing. I'm assuming this is going to be set in the Salvage Title universe.
It is set in the Salvage Title universe. It's okay. 2 trilogies.
All right. I'll say it's 6 trilogies. Books. That's a lot.
Yeah. But with her, it's not. Honestly, we write so similar and we get along so well, and our process is very smooth. We write very fast together. But so we're using a race I came up with in, I think it was Test Your Metal, the Junji. They're little hyena looking characters. And what this is if you took the Goonies, Indiana Jones, and Guardians of the Galaxy and rolled it all into a ball. That's what this is.
Awesome.
I mean, this is it's more. It might be more pulp than it is science fiction.
Right. Hey man, there's a place for that too.
And then it's not. There's no maturity. It's all fun and games. It's, you know, this suit is not serious at all. I mean, there's a few serious parts, but for the most part, it's just unadulterated fun.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Well, and that's one of the things that I think readers really love about the Salvage Title universe. You know, and the 4-HU kind of took this template as well. You know, yes, Salvage Title, the original trilogy was very space opera with kind of a military flair because you're dealing with fleets and former soldiers and officers and all that. But it was, as you moved out and as more books came out, you started to get, you know, Salvage Title with a splash of fantasy like you're doing. You got Salvage Title with a splash of the fun, like you're talking about with Olthoff and the stuff that she did. You know, Kevin and Casey Azell did a book together that had its own flair. So you know, it's tough to nail the Salvage Title universe down into just one genre because every writer brings some sort of a neat twist and a new spice to the pot, if you will. So I think that's one of the things that keeps Salvage Title readers coming back to the universe is you're never going to get the same thing over and over again. So I would imagine, you know, something being penned, knowing your stuff and knowing Melissa's stuff, that's going to be a lot of fun to read. Can you give us anything else about that story without spoiling it for people that we can look forward to?
So I'm sure you guys watched the American version of The Office.
Mm.
All right. So imagine you're an office worker and you're in this cubicle hell and you're just dying to get out. Your soul is being crushed every day.
Right.
And this other office worker with you has this wild idea of how you can go, you know, find this particular item and become instantly rich and never have to worry about anything ever again. Right. You're basically going on a treasure hunt, right? Okay. So it's either stay here and die slowly for the rest of your career or go on a treasure hunt and have the time of your life. You might spend all your credit while you're out there and not find a dang thing, but it's better than being stuck in this office all day.
Sure.
And that's pretty much the gist of book one.
Cool. Oh, that'll be a blast, man. Absolutely. Well, talk to me about other stuff that you've got going on. I know you have done some stuff with the Three Ravens Publishing folks and some of their materials. You've got your fingers in a few other pies around science fiction fantasy. What else are you doing beyond Salvage Title that you can talk about?
Well, I'm working on a Four Horsemen short story for an upcoming anthology. We've heard of, cool. You know, people have heard the Bureau 42 being mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be late next year. I've actually finished that short story and I've carried on to the novel. That'll be coming up sometime next year, hopefully. I'm working on it now.
Cool.
I'm also working on, back to Salvage Title, I've got a novel in process right now. It's called Hazardous Material. It'll be out, hopefully I'll be done with it by early next year.
Cool.
I have written in the, with Three Ravens, we did the Starflight universe. Do y'all remember the old video game Starflight?
Sure.
And that's basically what it was based off of. And I came up with a villain in that, basically a mob boss. He's a cyborg. He's a cyborg mob boss. And the story's title is Territory. And that's what it's about. He's claiming his territory and finalizing, like, this is his city.
Nice.
And he has to step on a few throats to do it, but he's okay with that.
As any mob, good mob boss should be.
Exactly. I've got my toe dipped in the This Fallen World universe as well. I've got a short story out there. May do a novel. That's not set in stone yet. Then I've got some projects I can't really talk about. One with Cordova. I've got a trilogy with him. That's super secret squirrel stuff. Can't talk about that.
Fair enough.
That's about all I can say. And then Melissa and I have a secret project that will be later on next year. I can't talk about that either. But, I mean, I'm looking at my whiteboard right now. Between now and 2025, I've got 20 novels set up.
You're a busy dude, man. You are a very, very, very busy man. That's awesome.
I try to stay that way. I'm tired of the day job, brother.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Let's talk about that. And we're not obviously going to get into what you do for a living. Just suffice to say, you spend quite a bit of time in your average day hanging around fine spirits and such. And by spirits, I do not mean I mean the glug, 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 glug spirits. So, Nick, for those who attend the convention circuit with us all, somewhere along the line earned the nickname the Liquor Fairy because he's you can always count on him to show up with something that you're not going to find on the average shelf. He really knows how to get in the weeds and find this really cool off the beaten path stuff that you're going to try one time in your life and you may not ever see it again. So talk to me about what's on your radar there these days, man. Have you found anything cool that's like new, experimental, small batch stuff, anything locally or abroad that kind of blows your skirt up that you want to share with people? You're a whiskey guy?
Yeah, I like whiskey. I like bourbon. I found out that Redbreast, actually, it's an Irish whiskey. Redbreast makes a 27-year. And I would like to get my hands on that and try that out because I do like an Irish whiskey. Okay. I really want to try that. So far, my favorite Irish whiskey is, the you know, kind of ironic. It's Writer's Tears. That's a very good Irish whiskey in my personal opinion.
Okay.
I like it.
So now, what do you like about Irish whiskey versus a good Kentucky bourbon? What are the differences in the notes that really hit you?
I just like the fact that Irish whiskey's not sweet at all. It's got that burn to it. And, you know, it's hot. I like that. You know, it's very, to me, they're night and day. Irish whiskey's got a better bite than Kentucky.
Okay. Now, where do you stand on the Scotch stand? Are you a Scotch guy at all?
The only Scotch I've ever tried that I liked was a Glenlivet Caribbean. They age it in rum barrels.
Okay.
And it's got a sweet note to it. And very good, actually. Very smooth, very good. I actually introduced it to Hillbilly, William Joseph Roberts, and Christopher Woods at Fantasy a couple years ago, and they absolutely love it.
Awesome.
But that's the only Scotch that I'll drink.
I would actually give a shot to that because I've never fancied myself as much of a Scotch guy either. I've tried everything from Lafroig to Glenlivet. I've tried the Macallans, a number of different kinds, and there's just something about it that just never resonated with me. But Scotch from a rum barrel, that could be interesting. I'd give that a shot.
It's a lot smoother, and like I said, it's got that fruity note to it that you'll get from a rum.
Yeah. How many years they age that for, do you know?
I think this one is 4 years, 3 or 4 years. I'll have to check it.
Cool. So now what's your go-tos? All right. Average Friday night around the Steverson house, the kids are put to bed. You're kicking your feet up on the coffee table or in the reclining chair, looking just to mellow out a little bit before you go to bed, pouring a little something in a glass. Give me the go-to in the Steverson house.
Well, my go-to, as you know, is going to be Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace. If I can find a Blanton's, I'll drink a Blanton's. But Buffalo Trace, to me, is a great budget bourbon. I mean, it's $27 in Pensacola, and it is every bit as good as what I just mentioned for Blanton's.
Yeah.
Blanton's is about a $200 bottle. But I love some Buffalo Trace. Now, if I can't get Buffalo Trace, Maker's Mark's tried and true, son.
Okay. All right. Yeah, tough to go wrong with a Maker's Mark. Alrighty, fellas. Well, I think that's pretty well out for me on questions. Rob, I'll throw it to you first, man. You got any questions for the man that may not have made it on my radar before this interview ends?
Well, you know, I want to, you know, ask you, is Alabama ranked where they ought to be? Or
I totally forgot about the college football.
Yes. So should Alabama be ranked ahead of Georgia? Or which do you think?
If I'm being completely honest and not biased because I'm a massive Alabama fan, I think Georgia got screwed from the get-go this year. They should have never started out the season ranked at number two. They should have been ranked number one to begin with. They are the reigning champions, and until they go down, they're number one. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think Alabama should have been coming in number two. They lost the title game. That's where they should have come in at. They played a sloppy game. 2 weeks ago, well, I think it was 2 weeks ago, who was against Texas.
Yeah,
over 100 yards, over 100 yards and just penalties. It's like, what are you doing out there? You know, it's a younger team, yes, but that when you play for Nick Saban, you better be more disciplined than that. I mean, I do not – I'm glad I'm not one of them boys in that locker room after that game. Good Lord, I know he went off on.
I did see the interview after the game, and, yeah, there was some temper in those eyes, that's for sure. Yeah.
That is one of them coaches where you don't want to be making a bunch of stupid mistakes like that. Just – no.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you, man. I mentioned the proud papa earlier. I would wager that hurt your heart long ago when a young Nick Steverson came into the house wearing an Alabama cap or T-shirt or whatever it was for the first time. I'd wager that was a hard day for you.
Not as much as you'd think. First of all, my father was a huge Alabama fan.
All right.
And Nick was always really close to his grandfather because, you know, his mother and I were divorced and I was off in the military going everywhere else. And he was real close to my father. So that was to be expected. My wife is an Alabama fan. Okay. She's not a Georgia fan. I keep threatening to get a house divided license plate where Georgia's three quarters of the top crushing Alabama on the plate. To me, that's a good plate to have. I'm also going to make a T-shirt that shows a bulldog with his leg hike on a trunk. But when you look close, it's an elephant leg.
Nice.
I want to do that too. But yeah, no, it doesn't bother. Listen, the truth is the SEC game, the national championship, Georgia and Alabama is going to be in those four. And that's where it's all going to work itself out. It doesn't matter who's number one, who's number two all throughout the year. It's what's going to happen at the end of the year. And they're going to see each other in Atlanta.
Right.
And they're probably going to see each other again 2 weeks later.
So talk to me, how does a family game day work at the Steverson house with these two very massively divided clans?
We text back and forth, but he's down there and I'm up here. So it's.
All right.
But there's a lot of honesty in there too. You know, if Nick will text me and say, hey, Alabama held on that. I can't believe I didn't call it, because that's honest. Or I might text him and say, yeah, Georgia got him on that. We mugged him. You know.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I'm not that blind fan, man. If my team's screwing up, they're screwing up. I mean, right. It is what it is.
And if they got away with something, they got away with it.
Yep.
Yeah. It ain't illegal unless you get caught.
Full disclosure to our listeners, this right here is why I love hanging out with the Steversons at cons, because in addition to being great sports fans, they're not homers. They will call it like they see it, and that makes for some fun conversations. Kev, any questions from you for your boy before we let him get out of here that don't necessarily have anything to do with college football, or it could? It's your call.
No, it's just, as long as you need to tone up a little bit on our cornhole game, because we got Factory Con coming up. We are the reigning champions. We got trophies and everything. We're going to go up there and wax it again.
Yeah.
Last year, both of us can play. You know, when you're from the South, you know how to play, but both of us, and he also plays disc golf. So, throwing things and that kind of thing, he's pretty good at that. So. Last year we were warming up before the cornhole tournament and we looked around and I was like, is anybody looking? He's like, no. So I threw three straight in the hole, but then somebody saw us and I got caught and he was doing the same thing. Yeah. When everybody was watching, we weren't very good, but when it came, nobody was looking. Boop, boop, boop.
I threw one and it bounced off the side, and Chris Kennedy, our publisher, he stepped up next to me and kind of looked at me. I shrugged and I threw three more and I went right in the hole. He looked and he goes, you suck. And just walked off.
So, yeah, we're going to be reigning champions again. Cornhole champions, okay?
I wish I
could. We got some competition coming. Cordova is screaming he got a ringer, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, God. All right. I expect live feed via the CKP YouTube channel. Like, producer Jeremy, if you're watching, that needs to happen, man. The inaugural CKP Factory Con cornhole tournament, maybe a little single elimination, maybe double elimination. That maybe you can get some bracketology going on. Like, this is going to be a thing.
We're going to win the trophy again, and I'll put it right on my shelf with the other trophy.
It's right here.
Yeah, see that? We got trophies to prove it.
Oh, goodness. All righty, folks. Well, he is Nick Steverson. You can find him online at nicksteverson.com. Go there, check that out. Make sure you sign up for his mailing list. That's a good thing to be in touch. That way you can keep tabs on all of his news, releases, everything he's got going on, salvage or otherwise. He's also active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So make sure you go find him on whichever of those platforms you like to use for your socials. Nick, anything I missed that you need to get out to the peoples before we let you go?
I think you pretty much covered it. Facebook, newsletter, website. That's all it. I appreciate y'all having me on and, let me shoot the breeze with you.
Anytime, man. I appreciate that bottle of Buffalo Trace you left at my house the last time you were here. Putting that out there.
Now we know how he got on the show.
Hey, it wasn't just a bottle. It was a big half-gallon bottle.
There. It was a handle. It was a handle. The unicorn, as we call the handle of Buffalo Trace in Bay County. You can't find it anywhere, man. People snatch it up. It's allocated.
Man, all right, folks, know a few people.
There you go. I know you do, sir. I know you do. I will make the barbecue. You bring the bourbon. We will make it.
That works.
All right, buddy. Have a great night. Tell the family we said hi. Always a pleasure. We'll see you next time on the Dudes.
Man, thanks, guys. See you.
Yep. Thanks for joining. Great to see you.
You too, man.
All right, guys, that's going to bring us down to our halftime show, where we thank our presenting sponsor, the fine folks over at Chris Kennedy Publishing. Military, sci-fi, space opera, urban fantasy, whatever, folks, they got it all. Go to chriskennedypublishing.com and you can learn all about it. I know I stress the newsletter thing a lot, guys, but really, in a day and age, man, when the Facebook algorithm really makes up its own mind what you do and don't see, or Twitter or Instagram, newsletters are the way to make sure you keep in touch with the information that you want. In this case, we got new releases, pair of new releases to talk about. Rob, I'm going to go ahead and throw the first one to you, because this one comes out of your shop at New Mythology Press. What is this week's new release that we want to tell the peoples about?
Well, this week we have Heart, Wings, and Fire by Trisha Wooldridge. I met Trisha at Superstars, and man, Real go-getter, amazing writer. I'm really excited to have her on board the team. She's really awesome. She's actually doing a CKP, Inside CKP show as we're recording this. So once you're get done listening to us, you might go back and check out the CKP, the Inside CKP channel on YouTube.
Yep. I'd be remiss, by the way, if I didn't tell folks that if you're interested in hearing more about this book, it was one of the feature books this month on CKP Confidential. So I had a chance to sit down with Tricia and talk about it. She did a spectacular read of her stuff. And I told her this after the fact. I'm like, if you ever watch Mandalorian, the actress who plays the armorer, she was on Supernatural. There's a cadence to how she speaks. And Trisha's, the way she reads her stuff kind of has a little bit of that flair to it. And she's very distinct. She's very strong with her delivery. It was a great, one of the best reads we've had on CKP Confidential. So if the book is half as good as the read, dude, you guys are in for a treat.
It's a great book. I really enjoyed it. Even though it's not necessarily the style, the exact style I normally read, I was like engrossed in the characters and like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And when you're, you know, when you're looking for something to publish, you're like, I wanted to go to sleep 3 hours ago.
Mark of a find. All right. What's this one all about, Rob?
Before she can save herself, a princess must first save a dragon. But with her memory stolen and power forgotten, how can she do either? A tyrannical despot claimed Princess Bria as his wife, a prize for slaying the dragon who'd kidnapped her. That very dragon, she's told, scarred her body and mind, but time and again, her husband adds new scars over her old ones. She can't remember just who she should fear and why. Searching for the truth behind her lost memories, Bria finds the dragon, imprisoned and suffering, hidden below the castle. Bria's compassion sparks a new power within her, a magic she didn't know she possessed, enabling her to free the dragon. Now Bria, branded a traitor, faces her husband's sadistic wrath. Can she find the courage to follow the dragon to freedom and claim the power over who she really is?
Awesome. Be sure you check your show notes, folks. We'll have Amazon links to all of this stuff for you. So if you sound, if that sounds like something that you're interested in, and let's face it, why wouldn't it be? Check your show notes, go read all about it, grab yourself a copy. It's right there, a touch away. Another new release from CKP this week is book two in the Protocol series from Kevin Eikenberry. This book is Vendetta Protocol. And this will actually lead into the brand new novel in this series, which is set to drop later on this fall, called Imminence Protocol. Really excited about this one. For folks who checked out the Future Books podcast this month with Randall Willis, Kevin was on there with Chris Kennedy. They talked a bit about their new book, The Last Stand, and some of the stuff that's happening to, with that series as it's going to move forward. But he did get a chance to touch on this. And Protocol is really exciting stuff, folks. I highly recommend it. Again, link to this one. Check your show notes. Other things happening around the land of CKP, new in audio this week, Blue Crucible by Benjamin Tyler Smith. That comes to us from the Fallen World universe. And this is the follow-up, if I remember, I believe, to Blue Salvation, I think, was his first book. And this is the follow-up to that. Maybe the other way around, but it doesn't matter because they're both good books. And now they're on audio. So go check them out. That's Blue Crucible by Benjamin Tyler Smith from the Fallen World universe. Buck Book, speaking of the Fallen World universe, how do you feel about an anthology for a buck? Among the Embers, got a whole bunch of good stuff in there, edited by Chris Kennedy and Christopher Woods. That is a book this week only, so make sure you go check that out. And then finally, a book I just mentioned a second ago, The Last Stand, which is new title from Kevin Eikenberry, Chris Kennedy. They are looking for launch team readers for that. And this sounds flipping awesome. For those of us who loved Pacific Rim, the first one, not the second one, because the second one sucked. But that, Robotech, Voltron, like all the big robots versus monsters, awesome saw stuff, like this is going to hit that. And it's being brought to you by Kevin Eikenberry and Chris Kennedy. So if that's not a recipe for awesomeness, I don't know what is. But go get in on it now, man. The Last Stand. They need launch team readers. So go to ChrisKennedyPublishing.com, shoot them a message, and they will get you hooked up with that. So, all right. Well, that's going to take us down to our Air It Out segment, which is noted at the top, is sponsored by the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. Love those folks, man. If you're a writer, go there, get an account. It's free. Meet some other writers, network, grow your circle, learn more about your craft from people, bounce story ideas off of each other. That's what it's there to do, is to build community. If you're a reader, they give away free books every month. This month, fantasy giveaway, big time. It's happening later on in October. Go to IASFA.org. Make sure you sign up for the mailing list so you can get all the information and stay tuned up on all of that. But some great authors in line for this, as there always are with these types of giveaways. Last month, it was science fiction. So that is the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors, and they are good people. Kev, I'm going to go ahead and give you lead on Air It Out, man. What's happening in your neck of the woods? Can be writing stuff, can be family stuff, things that are happening around the Steverson household. What's new in your world, man?
Well, we got FactoryCon coming up, so that's going to be in the Outer Banks here in a couple weeks. And then at the end of the month, I am the special guest author at HalloCon.
Okay,
so, nice. That's in Dalton, Georgia, and it's fall colors up in the Georgia mountains, about 30 minutes below Chattanooga. So it's just beautiful up there. So that's going to be good. And they're feeding us, and they have a big old grill, and they barbecue the whole weekend, and that's going to be outstanding. And from everybody I've talked to through the years, because I think this is the 20th year, it's always great food.
Nice.
And it's not going to cost me a dime. So yeah, I'm going to be in line and back in line and get back in line again.
And yeah, those are good folk.
Now, Stacy's not going to be there because she'll be here, your grandchildren, handing out candy, that kind of thing. So nobody's going to be there to stop me from getting back in line. So.
Suffice to say, we will expect a full report on the following episode.
It's going to be good, challenge. It's going to be good. Even if one of the days it's Simple Burgers and Dogs, I mean, just, you're there with a good group of people. People are there for the convention, readers, authors, it's one of those things, and it's just the perfect weather for it. So
do we know anybody else on the roster for that one? I know a lot of times those tend to stay pretty local, regional type of talent, but any names we'd recognize?
No. That's a good question.
I'm looking it up.
And Rob's been around, the industry a lot longer than I have. So he may recognize people left and right.
Well, Stephanie Osborne's going to be there. Yeah. So you spent some time with her at LibertyCon.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't see a whole heck of a lot listed. The Molly Maguires are a fun band to watch.
Right.
They'll be there.
Yeah, live entertainment's going to be there. That's going to be cool.
Well, that's sometimes though, man, those are great cons to go to. Because again, you are going to get in touch a lot with your regional talent. And particularly for writers, dude, that's how you network, man. Those smaller, more intimate cons like that, you will get an opportunity to sit around a table with a plate of barbecue in front of you and talk about books, talk about craft, brainstorm ideas and spend that time.
And it's the 20th year. So this isn't, just an upstart kind of thing.
They're not playing around.
Yeah.
I went 2-3 years ago, something like that. And honestly, I had a fantastic time. The people who run it know what they're doing. Like you say, 20 years going on. Good crew of people. There's a lot of leavening of, the LibertyCon experience is helping there. I assume Billy Joe Bob, William Joseph Roberts will be there.
Right.
I assume that there'll be a number of crew. That Chattanooga writing group, by the way, let's not just talk about LibertyCon, but the writing group, the Corner Scribblers that he's got going on there includes more than a few writers who I think have a lot of talent. And I saw them all there because Dalton is really close to Chattanooga.
Right.
If you're in the area, you should go. It's a good crew of people.
How far is Dalton from Panama City? Do you know, Kevin?
It is literally 30 minutes south of Chattanooga.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking for my phone. Oh, let me ask the British.
On 75. Lady. I mean, it's right there on 75. So
let's see here. How far is
it is
the drive
Halloween
to
weekend,
Dalton, Georgia?
So, and it's always Halloween weekend, obviously. Hence the name of the con. But
all right. I'm looking at about 375 miles. I can make that work. May have to look into that one next year. That one could be fun. I'll tag team that one with you. Rob, what's going on?
And I may join you. I liked it a lot last year, and I just had too much going on this fall. So,
yeah, I'm probably going to make it as a regular stop for me. It's the local thing. I mean, yeah, I'm only 80 miles from Atlanta, but I don't want to, that's 40,000 people at DragonCon.
If DragonCon ever would like for Ian J. Malone to be a guest of honor, then splendid. I would absolutely love to go and would be happy to go get a room at the Marquee and do it up. I have done DragonCon before. If a major publisher decided they wanted to snatch me up and we need you to promote a DragonCon, happy to go do it. Aside from that, if I'm spending my loot and my time to go to a con, I'm a big fan of LibertyCon, man. LibertyCon, Halicon, Fantasy. I get to actually hang out with readers there, you know? Just personal preference there, man. Rob, what's going on with you, man? Let's throw to you for aired out. You got something on your brain?
Well, yeah, I've been, one of the joys of this business is that reading old classic stuff in the field.
Yeah.
It's not just an, you know, entertainment. It's part of how you regenerate. It's part of how you, learn more techniques, part of how you, grow as a writer and as a publisher. And over the last week, I've been rereading all the Fawford and Gray Mouser stuff by Fritz Leiber. And that is stuff I've loved. I read it when I discovered it because it came out in the Dungeons or the Deities and Demigods back in the 80s. And yep. When it came out, I was like, what the heck is this? And it's part of D&D now. So I'll go read it just like I did with Michael Moorcock and, the Cthulhu stuff. So I hadn't really sat down and delved into it and wallowed in it for a while. And boy, he's just got such a great use of language. And if you haven't read the Fawford and Gray Mouser stuff lately, do yourself a favor and sit down and read it again. It's worth it.
Cool. 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 What's happening in new mythology land these days?
Well, lots of stuff going, man. This past month and a half has been five releases. Gosh, I can't even hardly keep track. And lots of stuff going on and things have gone really well. The Chimera Coop, released by Christopher Nuttall, has been taken up by Podium, and we will have audiobooks of that soon. We have no release dates, but it's been picked up, and we'll have that. And since he's got two more at least planned in that series, you'll see those as well. So sweet. We're really excited about that, and great working with him. He's such a professional guy to work with. Great writer, too. So
Podium is awesome. Like all of the stuff they've done for CKP has been absolutely splendid.
Yeah.
I know we had a question during our mailbag show the last time around from a listener asking for audio stuff. And I pointed them toward Fallen World, dude. The stuff that they do there is the stuff they do with 4HU is great too, but I don't know, man, there's something special about the reads they do on Fallen World. Those are some hot audio books.
I loved what they did with my books in the 4HU. So I'm really excited about this.
Cool deal, man. Well, we're rolling along swimmingly in the Malone house. I hope to have some book news to drop next episode. So you guys stay tuned for that. And I'm just going to kind of drop a little teaser on the book front that hopefully I should have some new book news to drop on that one. In kind of author news for those who are around the North Florida area, Northwest Florida area, come see me October 22nd over at the Bay County Library talking about regional talent, regional local folks. They have a Writers Fest, local Writers Fest every year at the library this weekend or this year. Unfortunately, it's Factory Con weekend, which is why I won't be in North Carolina. But we've got a great lineup of around 20 authors from around the Northwest Florida area. Some are sci-fi fantasy, others are mystery thriller. We've got some romance writers in there, some children's books writers. And everybody's going to be there hanging out, answering questions for the better part of 3 hours. So come see us if you got a question about a book or if you got a question if you're a writer. That's what we're going to be there to do, is to answer questions and spend time with you guys. We will have some tables up for sale to sell some books. So if you want to buy some of our stuff, you will have the opportunity to be able to do that. So we would certainly appreciate that, too. But for folks who are in my neighborhood here, lower Alabama, South Georgia, North Florida, come see us, man. October 22nd, Bay County Public Library. It is the 2022 Bay County Writers Fest. So speaking of that, actually, the guest on our next episode is going to be one of the folks from the local library here in Panama City. And we won't necessarily be talking about that event as much as we're going to be talking about how authors can pair up with local libraries to meet readers, to just help support local libraries. You know, they're like everybody else in the age of digital media, like they're scrambling to try and figure out, okay, how do we serve our public? You know, how do we justify our existence? How do we pivot our model on what we do? Because clearly just having books on shelves isn't enough anymore. And there are some real opportunities for authors to dig in right there in their own backyard where, you know, there's no travel expense or anything to go and meet readers. So Sarah Burris from Bay County Public Library is going to be coming on to onto the show to talk about that with us and give readers, you know, some more heads up into what they can, you know, if you haven't been to your local library, man, stuff happening over there, give them a look. So in not book stuff, I am a dog owner again. For the first time in 20 years, I'm the owner of a puppy. I'm now remembering why it's been 20 years since I've owned a puppy. She's awesome. Like, she is the sweetest little dog. I've put posters of her or pictures of her everywhere on social media. She is an awesome pup. She is also wicked active when I get up at 4:15 in the morning and I'm like, sweetie, I just want to sit here and drink my coffee and like kind of ease into my morning. And then I got to go right. And she's like, we're going to play. She's doing laps around the house. Like, I've got to like lock out all the other rooms and stuff because she's everywhere and it's just mass chaos. But she's a bundle of fun. She's a sweetie. We are very much still in the process of learning house training and how not to chew on carpets and so on and so forth, and hats. I've already forfeited a hat. So there's that to the cause. So just it's fun, but she's a sweetie. Special thanks to the Lucky Puppy Rescue folks. Tim Whaler was a guy we had on the show a while back that was the brewmaster at one of the local breweries here in town. And they do a lot of community events. And one of their events a couple of weeks ago was a dog rescue day. And I told Natalie, it's a beautiful day. Let's go down to the bay and grab a beer and hang out. And we'll slide by there and just see what they've got. And Lucy was there and it was love at first nibble and away we went. So that's what's pretty well happening with me. Well, thanks to Nick Steverson again for coming on the program. Absolute treat to have that guy. Can't stress it enough, folks. If you get a chance to catch up with him at a con, it's a guy who can talk about a lot of different stuff, man. Brilliant writer, very, very talented writer, but also will sit back and throw back a bourbon with you, too. And that's never a bad way to spend your time. So thanks again for him coming on the show. If you want more information on him one more time, that website, super easy. It's nicksteverson.com. Go there and check it out. We've also got a link in the show notes for you there. Thanks to Rob. Thanks to Kevin for coming on board and doing another one of these for me. And thanks to our sponsors, Chris Kennedy Publishing. Find them at chriskennedypublishing.com. And the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. You can find them at IASFA.org. Lastly, if you want to support the show, if you're a fan of ours, you want to kind of help bump us up the rankings, super easy to do. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or one of those platforms, leave us 5 stars and a review. If you're watching on YouTube, then like the episode, subscribe to the channel. That helps to bump us up through the rankings for people. So on behalf of Rob Howell, Kevin Steverson, Nick Steverson, I am Ian J. Malone, and we'll see you next time on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast. See ya.